This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 409 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
Ooh, I actually have stuff to talk about this week, unlike the last couple of weeks.
Good. That's
because I watched a bunch of movies.
Ah, falling behind.
Well, I created a new rule. And the new rule is, if I start it, I need to finish it. Like back in the day when you go to the video store and you'd spend a good hour picking up four new releases from the new release wall, and then you'd get home and you spent money on them. So no matter what, you're going to watch these movies. Unlike today where, you know, you put a movie on and you watch 10 minutes and you go, man, I'm not feeling it. So you shut it off.
Yes. Yes, they do that regularly.
And you probably spend an hour trying to pick it out. Between Netflix and Paramount Plus and HBO Max and Peacock and Hulu and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I just kind of made a new rule. If I turn it on, I'm finishing it. Because I can't think of a single time where I rented a movie at the video store and I didn't watch the whole thing.
I bet there was.
I can't think of one. I even sat through Eyes Wide Shut, sir. Like
Vanilla Sky?
Yeah. I made the commitment.
Oh.
That's the thing. I paid the money. I'm going to sit and watch it. Maybe I'll never watch it again. I'll take it out. Rewind it, of course. I'm not paying a fee on a movie I don't like. But anyhow, so that's kind of my new rule. So I got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 set. 9 movies to watch. Talk about. 11.
Wow, 11 movies?
Well, it's 2 weeks.
I only have 6.
I don't have any other show. Like, the only shows I have to talk about is, I don't know if Ghost's back. I haven't even checked. Is Ghost's back?
I think they're back this week.
Okay. So, like, Creature Commandos and The Waltons.
I have plenty of shows to talk about, so I'll fill that.
Oh, and we did start watching The Night Agent Season 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've only watched 2 episodes. Very good, though.
Good as first season?
Yeah, so far. I mean, it's different because the characters are already established. The only, like, pause. Have you watched any of it yet?
Nope.
Okay. I can't recall. Did you watch the first season?
I did not, but it's still on my list.
Okay. So there's a character that we meet in the first season. Anyway, so there's 10 episodes this season, much like the first season. Kate and I have watched the first 2 episodes. We both enjoy them thoroughly. You know, he works for this special agency. They're the Night Agents. I think they're somehow connected to the Secret Service, but they're also connected to the FBI. And anyhow, so I won't go into a lot of details. I don't want to ruin it or spoil anything for you, but it's pretty solid so far. The first 2 episodes, we enjoyed them thoroughly. It's just one of the things we didn't want to binge all the way through it. So we stopped at 2. We really, really like it.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we're up to like the midway through season 4 of The Waltons. It's interesting because the characters are actually aging, or it's
the characters or the actors or both.
Both, like the actors are aging, of course, as well. But the characters are aging on the show as well. You know what I mean? So like, it's like, oh, she's 16, she's playing a 16-year-old, and she's got love interest and this and that, and it's 1930s, so it's a possibility she could be married soon. You know, like, It's different. Enjoying it thoroughly. It's interesting to see like a guy shows up to help the Waltons work on their sawmill, and he's a prize fighter. He's a professional boxer, and he's there to help train and to train and get some mountain air. And then he's got a big fight coming up. And when Mrs. Walton, when Ma Walton finds out that he's a fighter, she won't have some pugilist living in her home.
Pugilist.
Like, yeah. Like it's just, it's interesting. Like their values are very, yeah. It's just, it's interesting to see, because it's very, you know, it's religion heavy, and the grandma and mom are both very, they love their church and they love Jesus, and grandma's very backwards fashioning, like where like Mary Ellen like wants to be a doctor, and she's like, what, women shouldn't be working? What do you mean you're going to get your license and drive? Women shouldn't drive. Like that's very old-minded of, but that's how it was, I guess. I mean, my Nana doesn't have a license. Well, let me rephrase that. After Papa died in 1992, Nana got her license and decided driving wasn't for her after, I think, one time, and has never driven since. Okay. So, like, but
it, I mean, she made the decision and she stuck with it.
Yep. But no, I'm enjoying this watch through. On that.
Thanks.
What do you got for shows? You said you had a bunch.
Yeah. So we're continuing on Arcane, which honestly we're getting close to the end, because they've only had two seasons and we're at episode 5 out of 9, or we just finished episode 5 out of 9 for season 2. This show is still phenomenal. This is a really great show, and I can't recommend it highly enough. Like, the animation is top notch. The soundtrack is amazing. The characters are great. Like, it really pulls you into the world. It's one of those where every time we've sat down to watch it, we can't watch just one episode. Like, we'll watch 2 or 3 in a row, sometimes 4, and then we have to like pull ourselves away. So definitely huge hard sell on Arcane. It's just friggin' great. They just gave us a big twist that was quite unexpected and quite exciting. And so I'm interested to see how the last 4 episodes of the season are going to pan out. We finished season 1 of Shrinking, and we started episode 1 of season 2, just because it didn't really leave on a cliffhanger, but it kind of left with an unresolved bit. And this show, again, like Arcane, this is great. Honestly, like, Shrinking is another hit for Apple, as far as I'm concerned. And like, the first season came out in 2023. The second season came out in 2024. I'm hoping we get a third season. Now I'm blanking on his name. Roy Kent is one of the producers/writers of this show.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah. And he actually has written himself into the show like he did with Roy Kent, but in a different way. And it's such a good show, dude. It's one of those shows where every episode you laugh and you feel heartbroken. Like, it's another Scrubs. It's
Oh, really?
Oh yeah. It's so good. It's so well done. Harrison Ford's amazing. Spoiler alert, right in the beginning, he has Parkinson's, but he doesn't like talking about it. So not in real life, but in the show.
Right, the character, yeah.
So, like, he really plays it up. Like, Julia was like, Jesus, I thought he really had it. Like, he really, you know, everything's kind of like, well, I don't want to. You know, he's a bit slower, and he's a bit more deliberate with his stuff, and he occasionally has the hand tremor thing. It's just, it's so friggin' good. Honestly, like, can't recommend it enough. Actually, most of my shows on here, I'm going to say all of them, are hard sells. We started because Julia's never seen it, but I'm rewatching Harley Quinn, the animated one. And yep. Awesome show. So well done. Because it's not just an animated superhero show. There's lots of violence. There's lots of swearing. But it also delves into abusive relationships, finding who you are, coming out of the shadow of somebody else. There's a lot of grown-up type stuff in this, and not grown-up as in like porno. I know you watched some of it, didn't you?
I'm implying that I watch porno when you said, I know.
Oh,
you
watch some of it. Nice.
Yes, I like the Harley Quinn animated series. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. We just did season one, episode three, which was the one where we meet Dr. Psycho and he gets kicked out of the Legion of Doom for dropping the C-bomb twice.
Yes.
the Legion of Doom's like, yeah, we don't condone that. You're literally the Legion of Doom and you're like drawing the line at the C-bomb. So that's great show. Again, I'm going to pitch it hard, but Dexter Original Sin, they were off for 1 week.
I'll get there. It is something I do want to check out. It's just, I actually started watching, I decided to watch Friday the 13th series. Mm-hmm. I hadn't watched that in forever. I threw that in. It's not like they digitally remastered this bad boy. So, it's a little, some of the, I've watched like three episodes so far, and like episode one was a bad copy, but you can still see everything and hear everything. It's like it's pixelated or scratchy or whatever. It's just definitely rough.
So it's the way that it was recorded, not that you're looking at it going, boy, this is a rough show.
No, it's like the only copy they had was like a VHS taped off TV copy.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like to put on the DVD. It's like we can't find the master original, but Dave in Pure Illinois has taped it on TV and he's selling it on eBay. Let's go ahead and buy that from him and take the commercials out. Because then episode two kicks on. It's like, whoa, this is clear.
But yeah, Dexter Original Sin was off for a week, so we didn't get any last week. Basically, if you like Dexter, this is more of the same. It's earlier in life. So they have flashbacks, and I'll tell you right now, the flashbacks are Harry working with Dexter's mom. Mm-hmm. So you're getting the full story of what happened there. And it's phenomenal. They just dropped a bombshell on us in the last couple of minutes of this most recent episode that we just watched tonight with dinner. And this show is great. If you like Dexter, this is more of the same. It's so good. But it's funny because, you know, we're getting it now as compared to Dexter, which came out years ago, but it takes place in the 90s. So everything's retro, you know, like this episode, he was learning about pager codes and, you know, when mm-hmm. somebody texts you 123, what it means. I never got into pagers, so I didn't know that. But yeah, it's
pager code 123.
I believe it was I miss you.
I miss you.
Hmm. So yeah, it's a great
one,
show.
I need to talk. 143. I love you. 2 3. Thinking of you.
This was before we all had cell phones and could do the T9 texting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such a good show. You're going to love it when you get into it. And I will say, Severance is back. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you ever got into that one.
Nope.
This show, the first two episodes, they don't tell you this, but the first two episodes of season two are basically one big episode. It's like, Memento kind of, like in one episode you see the innies and one episode you see the outies. And you see how everything played out from what happened at the end of season one, the big bombshell. It's such an interesting thing because one of the posits in it, you know, the whole premise is that they've developed this technology that allows you to become severed. So when you go to work, as you're riding down the elevator, you do this little, and then you're a new person, essentially. And neither version of you has any knowledge of the other. So each version is an individual person.
How does that work with relationships on the show?
That's what's interesting about it. Like when they're inside, so they're innie, they only know the people that they work with. They have no idea who, like, they don't know if they're married, if they have kids, if they have a relationship outside of the place. But anybody who's in a relationship, they're significant other, spouse, whatever, knows about the process. So they know that they can't talk to them about work because they have no idea. That's literally a whole other person that does the job.
Now, what about people having an affair at work? I'm sure that happens.
It can. They don't really like when you meet this group of people, it's four of them in the middle of a big room and their cubes all have low walls. So it's not like they're intermingling with like 30 or 40 people. These are the four people that you work with every day. Like think about the pods at your dispatch center. You know, you have a team of four people and every day you see just those four people and that's it. Unless the supervisor comes in to talk to you. So there's not a lot of call for that. And most of them are just there to do their job and then leave because they know that relationships are for the outside, but it can happen.
I wonder if anyone have ever like a husband and wife have worked there together and they don't, you know what I mean? Like that would be interesting.
And a couple of the characters have mentioned that they're like, you know, what happens on the outside, you know, maybe because that's the other thing is everybody comes in and leaves at staggered times. So they never actually see each other leaving or coming or yeah. So it's a very interesting concept. They do it so well and it is so tense.
So they don't even know on their outside world who they work with.
Nope. They could walk right by them and not even realize.
Huh. Interesting.
It's so interesting. And basically I convinced my team to watch it and one of my bosses and one of my coworkers devoured the entire thing in one sitting. All whatever it is, 9 or 10 episodes of season one. And they were like, I need more. My other boss is the one who also brought it up. And he's like, I love that show. So now we're going to have like a watch party type thing where we all talk about it. Another coworker said, oh, I started watching the first episode. When I have some time, I'll get to it. The next day she's like, okay, I binged all of it. I can't get enough of this. So yeah, it's season two is back and it's been 3 years.
How long are the episodes?
They're 45 minutes to an hour. So it's a bit of a commitment, but man, I got to tell you, like basically if you're going to pay the money for Apple, check out Shrinking, check out Severance. Totally worth it.
I kind of want to watch. Oh my God. Roy Kent. Ted Lasso again.
Yep.
I want to watch Ted Lasso again.
Silo's also on Apple. It's good. Yeah. You might like it. It's sci-fi. I've been having a hard time finding myself motivated to watch season two. I think just too much time went by and it didn't grab me as much. So.
Sure. I get that.
Kids feeding the cat?
No, that's Kate feeding the cats.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
I was hoping I wouldn't get kicked out.
That's all right. Well, those boys need their food or else they're going to just lose their minds. Kitty boys.
Isn't that funny how with cats, when you train them to eat at a certain time, they go ballistic if you don't feed them at that time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely they do.
Creature Commandos? The only other show is Creature Commandos. So.
All right, so I had the last two episodes to watch.
Yeah.
We had episode 6, which is how we learn about the creation, if you will, of Dr. Phosphorus.
Yeah.
That was pretty solid. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Yeah.
You know, like he wanted it for good and he found out people were going to use it for bad. What a surprise. Mm. And then he tries to stop them and they kill his family and then they lock him in the thing and like hyper radioactive and he becomes a supervillain or hero. Like, that's a very generic creation origin story, quite frankly.
It is. You've seen it a number of different times. It explains why he's so cold and hard. And
yep. But this is kind of interesting because we get his story, and then we get the story of everyone coming together to go find Rostovic, you know, with Weasel hanging out with the wolves, and then the girls, you know, Nina and the bride hanging out in the brothel and how that goes.
That was fun.
That was fun, actually. But it was just a great episode. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Dr. Phosphorus playing with the little girl.
Mm.
You know, scaring the crap out of the family. And then we get the final episode. And we get Nina's story about how her lungs were born outside her body. And what her dad did to try to help her and end up making her a mutant in this creature that he turned her into and then her childhood, like private school and and then everything involved with it.
I still don't understand why she's part of the team.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, she's so, it's almost like she was hanging out in the sewers because she was living there. Mm-hmm. And then people saw her, and then the police arrested her just for being different. Mm-hmm. And she got imprisoned just for being different. She didn't kill anyone. She didn't hurt anyone. Her dad tried to go find her and got shot by some bystander, and they didn't even do anything about it, like that we're aware of. So she was victimized for her appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Like, that was kind of sad because, like, everyone else did something, killed some people, was evil of some way, and she was genuinely as innocent as her character was portrayed these whole 7 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk her into going and killing Rostovic, and while she's swimming, because she's the only one that can sneak in there, and the friggin' weasel tips her off somehow because she played fetch with him.
I was going to say, it's because he loved her for the fetch.
Yeah. And I know it wasn't intentional, but I didn't think Nina was going to get killed like she was.
Yeah.
Like, gutted. Like, just stabbed repeatedly like it was a shiv.
Yeah.
And the prince's eyes glowed, Stovic's eyes, you know what I mean? And then while they find out that, Clayface set the whole thing up and it was a deception and she's not who she is. And then the bride goes to talk to her. And it was kind of interesting because she's like, oh, yeah, by the way. And it's like we get all this shenanigans type, I saw this and I saw this, I saw this, and I realized that you're really evil and you're really behind all this. And I'm going to kill you. But I'm not going to kill you for all that. I'm going to kill you because you killed the one good person I've ever met or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then, boom, no hesitation, bullet to the dome.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, and then we get like, oh, you did a great thing for us. We got deceived. Like, oh, no, this is all cleared up. She's not even in trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's your new team. You know, King Shark, G.I. Robot rebuilt, other people. Like
Phosphorus.
Phosphorus, of course, yeah.
Weasel, yeah.
Which, if you notice, Phosphorus' arm still hadn't healed from Weasel biting it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because of something in Weasel's saliva, or if that's because he basically is a regular person under all that. And,
yeah.
But I mean, he stood there and did the double bird to a tank, and it melted. Like,
yes,
he melted
through the tank, yes.
So it has to have something to do with Weasel.
Did you see the PS scene?
Yes.
So the old lady's still alive? Question mark?
And what does that mean?
I don't know. But yeah, the bride shot Eric all up and left him for dead. So
because she's had it with his shit.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he was trying to tell them, you know, not to kill her, that they've been deceived, and she was just like, you're here? Go fuck yourself.
Yep. Boom, 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 boom. I think that's really it for me for TV shows.
I believe that's it for me as well. Yeah. Although, on the TV front, I will tell you one thing you're going to be excited about, one thing you're going to say boo to. But Ghost is back this week. That's aside from this.
Sure is.
Whether or not you knew it, Wednesday we're getting the first 2 episodes of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
And apparently Charlie Cox is playing Daredevil in that.
The voice.
Yeah. And then what you're not going to care about or even boo is Thursday we're getting School Spirits season 2.
So I watched the first season.
And you didn't like it.
And I didn't like how it ended.
Okay.
I'll probably check it out with Kate, see if she wants to watch it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, we're getting the first 3 episodes of season 2 on Thursday. And then I think they're going to do 1 a week after that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll watch that.
And then Friday we get 1 episode of Ghosts. Oh, I love this TV Time app because it helps me keep track of the shows that I need to watch and the shows that I did watch. And this is not a plug. We don't get commission or anything like that, but basically, like, I check off the shows as I go through, and so then when I go to make my notes later, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I watched this this week, and you know, it'll tell me that there's three episodes coming up of School Spirit, so I know. The only thing that I don't like about it is it glitches out quite often. Like, it lags down, it slows down, it'll forget that there's stuff, or I'll check off a show, and then it'll come right back up and be like, you didn't check it off. So.
Yeah, that's annoying.
So you got some movies to talk about, huh?
Yeah, I got a few movies to talk about.
Yeah, of course, it's been 2 weeks, so that makes sense.
Hold on a second. There's something wrong with my... I got this pop-up that came up on my screen from like from my computer, and mm-hmm. it's now blocking the bottom quarter of my screen. I'm trying to clear it out.
Oh, no.
Well, it's annoying because it's blacked out. Like, I can't do anything with it, and it's annoying. Hold on.
Try doing Control-Shift-Escape to close that, or is it a pop-up from your browser?
It's a news pop-up thing that I thought I had turned off, but it somehow friggin' comes back. Mm. All right. Yeah, I watched several movies. I watched a movie called Cold Skin. It's described as a science fiction horror film. The plot was... No, I don't like this description of the plot. Hold on. A young man arrives at a remote island to take a post of a weather observer, only to find himself defending the watchtower from deadly creatures which live in the island shores. And Ray Stevenson's in it, and that's why I wanted to check it out, because I like Ray Stevenson. He passed away. The other main character is David Oakes, who I'm not 100% familiar with, but he's one of those guys, like, I recognize him from something. But anyways, it was a solid flick. I can't say I'd give this a, you have to watch this, but it's like, no, nah, it's pretty decent.
Okay.
I think I watched it on Amazon, I believe. Prime. Well, I'm trying to think where I watched it. I watched it for free. It was either Prime, maybe Shudder. Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty solid. Different. I thought the creatures were going to be like mermaids, if you will. They're not.
All I caught was like you glitched out there for a second.
I thought they were going to be like mermaids, but they're not. Like mermaid creatures or mer creatures, but they are aquatic creatures. So,
okay,
kind of neat. I watched Phantasm for the first time ever in life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not bad. I don't think I'd watch any of the sequels.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty solid. It came out in 1979. It's about the tall man. He's an undertaker who turns the dead of the earth into dwarf zombies to do his bidding. I mean... What's not to love, I guess. Yeah. But no, I enjoyed it. It's almost like, all right, I'm glad I kind of missed out on this all these years because I can watch it now and enjoy it. But yeah, I'm not going to watch the sequels. Definitely a cult film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the movie you watched?
I have been wanting to rewatch The Count of Monte Cristo for quite a while, but I couldn't find it anywhere outside of buying it. And it's on Hulu now. So we sat down and watched The Count of Monte Cristo. She had never seen it before. And phenomenal. What a phenomenal movie. And it's so fun to see young Henry Cavill, you know, playing that role.
Wow, that came out in 2002.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, Jim Caviezel, Guy Pearce, Henry Cavill. Well, good cast.
Yeah, great cast.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in forever.
Yeah. Now that I know it's on Hulu,
I may have to check it out again.
I've loved that movie. Every time I've watched it, it's just been so good. And this time was no exception. This was the first time Julie ever saw it. She loved it. Yeah, just a great movie.
Let's see. This came out in January of 2002, so it was essentially filmed in 2001. Henry Cavill was born in 83. So he was like 18.
He looks like such a kid.
Well, he was 18. That's why. Mm-hmm. Has a lot to do with it. I watched. So, do you know what FanFlick is? FanFlick.co.
Nope.
Okay, so basically, I saw it advertised back around Halloween on Amazon, not Amazon, on Facebook or something. And essentially, it's like, oh, you know,
you're breaking up again. You keep talking and the whole thing freezes and then your audio comes through and then the video comes through really fast.
I don't know what to tell you. Interesting. Let me see here.
How many different windows do you have open?
None. I have 3 tabs and no other applications open at all. And I tried to open up the FanFlick one so I could read stuff on it. And that's when you're like, yeah, break it up. So it's just, I had the FanFlick open. It shouldn't be causing this much hate and discontent. I opened up a 4th tab. But anyways, I think I picked it up around Halloween time because they had like 3 movies for $4.99 in their digital. And so I picked up a few and I've picked up a few here and there. Like they do flash sales. Like they had, you know, for $14.99, get the entire Star Trek, the original series digital. And you buy it through the FanFlick through them, but you redeem it like on Fandango at home type of thing.
Okay.
Or Vudu or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they had a deal. I think it was like 3 for $10. And I got the Cube movies. Cube 2, Hypercube, and Cube 0. Because I enjoy the first one. It's been a long time since I've seen them. And I looked it up, and like they're more expensive to rent or buy online than it was to buy them from them, either digitally or to buy physical copies. It was way more expensive than $10 for the 3 of them. So I watched all 3 of those. The first Cube, solid movie. Really, really good. You know, you don't know what's going on. You don't know why they're there. They're trying to figure it out. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Much like the Japanese remake that came out a couple years ago, which I watched last year. That's really, really good as well. Cube 2, Hypercube, not so good. Not so good. Not so good at all. They're dealing with like parallel worlds or parallel realities. And it's a bit more than I would want it to be, period. Not very good. I would not give that a hard sell. I would give Cube a hard sell. I'd give the Japanese version of Cube a hard sell if you like this Cube. And then Cube 0 is the 3rd movie, but it's a prequel to the 1st movie. Way less time in the Cube and more dealing with the workers and the people responsible for the Cube, because they don't really dive into that very much in the first 2 movies. They tie it in kind of cleverly to the first movie, if you will. It's okay. It's better than Cube 2 Hypercube. But yeah, I like them. I would give the original Cube a really, really hard sell. Because it's just a unique concept and a unique film.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, before we started recording, I didn't feel sick. I felt fine, but the more we're recording, like, the worse I sound.
Yeah, well,
like, even to myself. Like, I'm sounding nasally, and, like it's like I got a frog I can't clear, and that didn't happen before I ate dinner.
Yeah, and that's why I'd asked you about the, whether it was dinner or not.
Yeah, it was just frozen pizza, so I don't know what the frick's going on. What's the movie you watched?
Did you thaw it out first? Or?
Well, I mean, that can make a difference. It was cooked. It was absolutely
cooked. Imagine that. You're just like eating frozen pizza. Well, it's called frozen pizza, so I assumed.
So what's the movie you watched?
Let's see. We watched... We watched How to Train Your Dragon. Once again.
How's that treating you?
It's a rewatch. It's a great movie. It's one of those, you just, it's a feel good kind of movie. I know that it's a kid's movie, yeah, but it's got some really good themes to it. You know, the basic premise that there are Vikings, they live on this island. They came there to conquer. There are dragons that raid them all the time. They kill the dragons. They learn to kill the dragons. They know all about the dragons. So their lives are spent trying to kill the dragons and survive on this island. And our main character, Hiccup, discovers different ways to tame dragons, you know, to basically get them to roll over or collapse. The dragons are almost like cats more than anything. Or dogs. And
yeah, they definitely seem more cat-like.
Yeah, so he discovers a way to basically make them domesticated. And it's a good movie. It's fun. It's wholesome and has some good action in it. And like I said, good ideas, good themes.
Yeah, I think we had taken the kids to the drive-in back in the day to see part two of the Skowhegan drive-in, like in 2012 or 2013 or something like that.
Right after that, we threw on Wreck-It Ralph because I love that. Julia had never seen it.
It's quite the double feature.
Yeah. We were crashed out from working our asses off, and we're like, just wanted something light and wholesome. And she had never seen Wreck-It Ralph, so plugged that in. Again, great movie. She's like, sell me on the concept. I was like, Ralph's a video game character. He's the bad guy. He doesn't want to be a bad guy. Hilarity ensues, and it's got Alan Tudyk. She's like, sold. We're an Alan Tudyk house. And I said, yes, we are.
We certainly are.
So, yeah, another fun one, another great one. Loved it.
We had like a kids movie double feature at the family movie night Friday before last, where we went over to Jesse's house like we do when we watch movies, and Jason and I were actually going to watch Empire Records downstairs, but then he got called into work, so I went upstairs with everybody else. And The Land Before Time, it's only like 68 minutes long, so I don't know how technically it's a movie. I mean, it's short.
I don't know that I would call that a movie.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, I remember years ago, the first Wayne's World movie, the first Wayne's World flick, I remember them talking about the fact that the first cut, it was only like 78 minutes, and they made the comment, which is technically not a movie, so we had to like add stuff back in, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, it's only like 69 minutes is what it says it is. But that's not a movie. So I didn't realize this, but like there's dinosaurs in the movie that didn't actually live at the same time. Like, I think it's like the Stegosaurus and the Triceratops didn't actually exist at the same time, but they're together in the movie, which I never thought about or considered, but Johnny mentioned it while we were watching it. And it's like,
that's always an interesting thing.
Yeah. I had to look it up. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. Look at that. it's the incredible journey. It's Homeward Bound. You know, it's kids separated from parents because of what's going on, and then them journeying to the Great Valley or the Green Valley to find them again. And of course, you know, Littlefoot's mother dies, and that's the tragedy he has to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Kate loved it when she grew up. They watched it all the time. I've watched it a couple of times. I haven't seen it in 30 years, probably. The other movie we watched was Free Willy.
So you had some wholesome stuff going on, too.
Well, here's the thing. When I say Free Willy to you, and you'll probably remember this because you have a bit more of a remembrance about things like this. What's the movie about?
Well, now you're going to have to bear with me because I've never actually watched it. But I worked in a video store and saw the Michael Jackson music video about 36,000 times.
Yeah.
And it's basically, from what I gathered, it was about an orca who was at, no, it wasn't an orca. It was maybe
killer,
it was
a whale.
Yeah. Orca. Who was at like a SeaWorld kind of place, and they want to get him out.
Nope. Not even close.
Oh, okay.
It's about a whale at a SeaWorld type place and a little boy who's an orphan, and he does some criminal mischief to it and he gets caught, and then he gets foster parents who then bring him there, and he has to clean up the mess that he made, and then he befriends the whale, and then he's teaching the whale to do tricks, and everybody's all happy, and then someone new buys the aquarium theme park, and he decides, oh, the whale's worth more to me dead than alive, so I'm going to go ahead and make it look like an accident. It's Michael Ironside, by the way. So the whale dies and I can collect my insurance money. So they decide, well, the only thing we can do is to free the whale. So no, Free Willy is not about freeing Willy. It's really about just some shithead kid and his hard and rough life that he has, which is really not hard and rough, really. But anyways, but it's really about just some kid. And the freeing of Willy is an afterthought. It's not like they even thought about it through the whole movie. It's just like, oh, if we don't do something, he's going to die. We should do something. Well, what's the only thing we can do? Set him free. Well, then let's go for it. So it's an hour and a half movie, and the last 20 minutes is actually the freeing Willy scene, only because that's the only choice they have. Or let him die. So it should be Free Willy or he dies. That's the name. That's what it should be called. But yeah, so because we're watching it and I'm just dawned, I'm like, wait a second. They haven't given two shits about freeing this whale the whole movie. It's now that he might die. Now we got to set him free. So the title is definitely a misnomer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The title is definitely a misnomer. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 more movies to talk about. One of them I'm not going to talk a whole lot about.
Good Lord.
What do you got to chat about?
Watched a movie called The Dead Don't Die.
Whew, that is a rough watch. I'm an Adam Driver fan, but that is a struggle.
Adam Driver, Bill Murray, yeah. Chloe Sevigny,
yeah.
Danny Glover. Like,
I mean, it came out in Steve 2019. Buscemi. It's described as an absurdist zombie comedy meta-cinematic film. Yep.
It was right.
Yep.
As Julia said at the end, that was something.
Yep. That's a rough watch right there.
I wanted to like it more than
Me too.
I can say I didn't hate it.
No.
But didn't yeah. It was rough. Like, it was hard to some parts were fun and funny, but for the most part, it wasn't.
Yeah, no, that was a hard watch. And 54% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.8 out of 10, you know. It's just, yeah, it's definitely something I wanted to like, something I wanted to enjoy, and I just didn't. I mean, like, seriously, listen to this cast. Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Tilda Swinton, Chloe Sevigny, Steve Buscemi, Danny Glover, Selena Gomez, Rosie Perez, Iggy Pop, Sarah Driver, RZA. Carol Kane is in it. Yeah, it's a huge cast of people. Tom Waits is in it, for crying out loud. But yeah, it's a real, real struggle watch.
You would honestly think with a cast like that, I mean, Bill Murray and Tilda Swinton alone.
Right.
Like, they're so particular about the stuff that they do. Like, you would think there's no way this can be bad, but it wasn't that great.
It was definitely not good. Yep.
I only have two other movies to talk about. So what else you got?
I'm trying to find some information on this one. This was a part of the If I Started, I Need to Watch It movie.
Ah.
The Bad Shepherd. What did I watch this on? Guess it doesn't matter. This was a rough watch. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. A group of friends hunting on a hunting trip accidentally run over a woman carrying a bag of money. And then they decide, fuck it, we're going to take the money and going to bury her body. And then it just goes downhill real fast because a cop shows up and they kill him without the one guy's just like, fuck it, bang, bang. All right, he saw us. We saw the dead body. You know, we're going to jail, so I got to kill him. And then it's like a movie of like, I don't trust you and betrayal and money and this and that and everything. And then this guy just shows up, right? And he's like, you have something that belongs to me. I want my money. Da 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 da.
Does he talk like that? Because that would be great.
Kinda, yeah. And then they mess around with him for a while and tie him up and blah, blah, blah. And then they shoot him in the head. And now they go out hunting each other because they don't trust each other. And the guy that shot in the head gets up and he's like, oh, that didn't hurt. And then he goes out and he starts like killing everybody. And then he's a vampire. Like in the last 5 minutes of the movie, it's like, oh, by the way, this is a vampire. And now I just made you a vampire. And I'm going to peace out, sauerkraut. See you later. And he leaves. It's like, what the fuck? What? Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the headline. Some are still confused about the ending of Bad Shepherd. No shit. Because he's a vampire. Like, suddenly.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like good storytelling if you're just suddenly throwing that in at the end.
Yeah, after Sydney, that's the bad guy, is shot and seemingly killed, he rises back up, revealing not only did that gunfire not affect it, didn't kill him, it didn't affect him. It's like, oh, well, that's interesting. He got shot in the head, but he seems fine. Oh, and what's this in the last 5 minutes? Oh, he's a vampire. Yeah.
Did we forget to mention that? Because it's kind of important.
Well, throughout the movie, he's like drinking from these little vials.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know it's blood. They don't even imply it's blood. It's just like he's just drinking from these little vials.
Oh, so they're trying to be more clever. Blood.
Oh, yeah. They tried really hard. They did not succeed. But, yeah. I'm watching. I'm like, whoa, wait, hold on. Is he a vampire? Yeah. I watched this movie. It was on, I think it was on Prime. It was called Calendar Killer. But I think it's, let's see here, The Calendar Killer. Yeah, it says here. When Jules starts his shift on the escort phone, not prostitutes, but like if you're afraid to walk home alone, you call.
Oh, yep.
And then they stay on the phone with you. A telephone support line for women to get home safely. Everything looks like a quiet Saturday evening, if that is, until he receives a call from a young mother named Clara, who claims that she will die that very night at the hands of a notorious female killer. He has given her an ultimatum. Either she kills her husband, or she will be murdered tonight. So begins Clara's desperate escape from the so-called calendar killer, with Jules on the phone, who is her only hope of salvation. Spoiler alert, Jules is the calendar killer.
Oh.
And a twist that makes no sense whatsoever, because he clearly randomly got her phone call. Yeah. Yeah. No. No, 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 no. It's a German flick. Sounded cool, and then I started watching it. And they don't do that reveal or even tease it or anything. Until all of a sudden it's the end of the movie and you're like, whoa, like last 20 minutes, half an hour. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. No, this isn't even believable. It's not even plausible. Because he just happened to get her phone call. And yet he happens to be killing her that night.
Happens to.
You know what I mean? Like if he was really going to kill her that night. Which, by the way, he kills her by midnight, and it's already dark when he calls her. And it's not like it's winter, so dark at 4:30. Like, it's nighttime. Like, it's just, it's, and too much time passes in the movie for it just to be a few hours. Like, it's just, it's a hard pass. It's a dumb twist. Again, almost like the Bad Shepherd, but not as, Bad Shepherd is actually better, because that twist happens, and it's more like, what the fuck? They just got lazy. Whereas this, it's like, oh, no. No, this is not good.
That sucks.
The other two flicks I watch. I'm going to talk about both of them a little bit. So what's your movie?
My I've got two left. One of them, I bit the bullet and I watched Section 31.
Oh, I did too. That was one of the movies I talked about or watched. If we want to talk about our other movies first, then we can spoil it if you'd like.
Sure. My other movie that I watched was Nosferatu, because it's now available through Amazon.
That's just a terrible movie, in my opinion. What did you think?
I had the opposite reaction. I loved it.
Yeah. And that's why that movie on Letterboxd went in the category of movies everyone else likes, but I don't.
I honestly, I was glued to the screen. I love the cinematography, the way that every time the count was involved, all the color was gone from the world. The mustache was an interesting choice, I have to say. I don't know that I would have gone there, but I like the fact that they were not trying to make him handsome, and they could have easily. It's a Skarsgård, but at no point did they try to make him attractive. It was so beautifully done, I felt. The camera angles, the way that the people presented themselves, like Nicholas Holt did a great job. Like, you really felt the fear. I don't know how they got his pupils to dilate that much unless they basically use those drops that you get at the eye doctor. But he spent most of his time with bugged out dilated pupils.
Maybe they would use contacts to make him look dilated.
Maybe.
That would be easier on his eyes, to tell you what.
I'm not usually a big Lily Rose Depp fan, but she pulled some stuff out, especially towards the end there, where she was like having the seizures and, talking in the different voices, sticking her tongue out like that. I legitimately thought when she stuck her tongue out that she was then going to bite down through it. It looked like that kind of a horror type thing coming. But no, I enjoyed this movie thoroughly through and through. I couldn't look away. I felt that it was suspenseful, even though I kind of knew the story. It was still very suspenseful. I like how they tied him to the rats and the plague. I really liked Willem Dafoe's take on not Van Helsing. It was, everything was like just to the left of what you'd expect. You know, there was this was not Bram Stoker's Dracula. It was similar, but it was not. Well,
it is based on Bram Stoker's Dracula.
It is.
A lot of it is very similar.
But you have Ellen and Anna, and you don't have Mina. You don't have Jonathan or Van Helsing or anything like that. You've got real people. Good God, the his buddy there who owned the shipyard, and what happened to his family. But then to see how he dealt with his grief afterwards in the crypt, that was something.
So here's the thing. I when I talked about it, and maybe I didn't talk about this with you, I can't recall. I thought it was beautifully shot. You know, cinematography was great, the costuming was great. I thought the actors did a good job in their roles. I just didn't like the story. I didn't like how he put his story together as a whole. I didn't like his long drawn out beats. Like, I didn't care for the director's edit of the film. I thought Orlok looked really interesting. Like, he's kind of a monster, but he's not a monster. And then, they absolutely could have gone gorgeous with him, but like historically the other Nosferatu flicks, he was a bald, long-eared, big nose character with long fingernails, and so they went a different direction. It's cool. I just didn't care for the movie, and to be frank, I don't apparently like this director. I didn't like The Northman. I didn't like The Witch. I haven't watched The Lighthouse. Don't really know if I'm going to watch The Lighthouse. Also, Willem Dafoe. So this is something I couldn't get over while watching the movie. I'm watching the movie. I'm like, isn't he like 6 foot tall or something like that? Like, I thought Willem Dafoe, in my mind, he's like 6'2", 6'3", or something like that. No, the man is 5'7", apparently. So because I thought he was so much taller than he was, I thought they did something to make him look shorter in this film. And so that was throwing me off. And And his head felt too large for the rest of his body. So it's like they shrunk his body digitally, but left his head the same. And so that threw me off. And then I had to look it up after the movie was over. I'm like, the dude's 5'7". I swear to God, he was like 6'2", 6'3". Yeah, I don't know. I just, like I said, it's in the category of movies that everyone else seems to like, but I don't.
Yeah. And that's okay.
I watched in the Land of Saint and Sinners, and that's that Liam Neeson movies that came out in 2024.
Who?
Liam Neeson's.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. It's on. I think it's on Amazon Prime right now. It's in 1974 during the Troubles in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, and he plays a Irish assassin, if you will. And
what a stretch.
Yeah, I know. And basically, like, he's retiring because he's old. But some young kids, some troublemakers that like to bomb things, come up to his little quiet town, and he's got to come out of retirement to take action. It's a good flick, actually. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It's nothing to go, wow, this is amazing. But it's still like, yeah, it's a good Liam Neeson's flick for a guy who's like 80 years old. How old is he now? 72. Fair enough. But he plays like a 72-year-old. He's not trying to play a younger fella. But yeah, it's funny because what was that? I think it's a Colin Farrell flick. Not Colin Farrell. Yeah. Or maybe it's a Brad Pitt flick from back in the late 80s, early 90s, where he's a member of the IRA and this and that and everything. And I've been kind of like wanting to read up on what happened with all that and the troubles recently, like a few months back. I was reading up on that, just like that war that they had going on over there, the civil unrest. And then this scene, this movie, it takes place during then. So I found it interesting for me. But yeah, I think it's on Amazon. It's a good flick. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to give away too much, but basically I kind of said what I said, I guess.
And yeah. That was a mouthful. What was the name again?
In the Land of Saints and Sinners.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. What's a boom. What does it say on IMDb? Who does it say where it's streaming? Let's see here. Streaming MGM Plus. Yeah. Included with Amazon Prime. A disillusioned hitman comes out of retirement for one last job at an IRA bomber. On the run from the law arrives in his sleepy Irish village. Yeah, like he went into retirement the day before the person showed up, okay? It's not like he was long, like working on his garden or something, and just when he's out, they pull him back in, you know? So, the only other movie I have to talk about is Star Trek 31. Do we want to talk about trailers and shit first, or do we just talk about it? Okay. Well, there was a lot of trailers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were bombarding me at one point.
Well, that's usually your role. It was
different. I know.
For a change. Let's see here. I got, how far back do we need to go? That's my tattoo. Okay. Yeah, you saw that one. Daredevil official trailers. We got to go back to the 15th.
I believe so. Yep.
Okay. So I did eventually watch the trailer. At first I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this or not because I'm going to watch the show.
Yeah.
But then I did watch it and it looks amazing.
It looks more than amazing.
It looks so freaking good. Like, so. I love the original series, which I'm almost tempted to try to watch before watching this again, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And seeing John Bernthal back as Frank Castle.
The way that he's introduced in the trailer where he just goes, Frank!
Yeah.
You see him and he's like, oh.
I just love it. I absolutely love it. That to me, they don't need to cast anyone else as Punisher ever again. He is the Punisher.
Yep.
You know? And I don't think he's very old. Okay, he's 48 still. He is the Punisher. They can get enough. Mm-hmm. They can get a good 10 years of movies out of him, if not more. Look at Wolverine, for crying out loud.
Right?
Yeah, I'm wicked pumped for that. Like, March 4th, I think we're going to get, like, the first three episodes or something like that. Like, I am so here for it. Oh, Bob Uecker and David Lynch died.
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to watch all the David Lynch movies to remember him and this and that. And then I'm familiar with David Lynch. I know he did Twin Peaks, but what did he do for movies and stuff? Like, what was his big filmography that I would want to watch?
Oh, God, what was the name of that one? There's like one that...
And there's not a lot.
Oh, I can't think of the name of it.
He did a shit ton of short films.
Mm-hmm.
But like, for feature-length movies, Eraserhead, The Elephant Man, the first
Eraserhead Dune, was what I was thinking of.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. The first Dune, Blue Velvet, Wild at Heart, Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern.
Mm-hmm.
Twin Peaks, of course. Lost Highway was the other big one with Bill Pullman and Patricia Arquette. And then Mulholland Drive.
Lost Highway and Mulholland Drive were the other two that I was thinking of.
So though Eraserhead, Lost Highway, Mulholland Drive, those would be the three that I'm like, all right, I'm good with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did tons of short films. And then for TV, you know, he did Twin Peaks. And and then he also did this 30-minute anthology series called Hotel Room that was on HBO that I had never heard of before. Came out and it was aired in 93. There's only like three episodes.
Nope.
But each episode took place in the same hotel. And each episode was about a different room in the hotel, obviously. But yeah, I'd never heard of it until I was just looking stuff up last week. What's next? Oh, Monkey, Red Band trailer.
Eh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch it because it's Stephen King, and that's what I do. But the trailer really didn't knock my socks off.
And see, I probably will not watch it because of Stephen King.
Fair enough. They announced that the new Fear Street High School Prom movie is based. So the first Fear Street trilogy was kind of based on Fear Street, but not on any specific book. Whereas this movie is based on a specific book called The Prom Queen, but it is going to be rated R like the original trilogy was. So they're making these movies from a young adult novel and they're adulting them.
What do you think about that?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the trilogy that they did. So I am very much okay with that.
Yeah. I thought they were great. I really enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty fantastic, quite frankly. So I am 100% okay with that.
I mean,
especially the 1974, the summer camp.
Yeah. Part 2,
that was so well done.
It was.
So well done. Joel McHale is joining the cast of Scream 7 as Sydney's husband. Perfect. Take that.
Yep. Yep. Love me some Joel McHale.
Absolutely. Oh, Spider-Man. Was it 2028?
Yeah, what's up with that?
So sad. Yeah, Beyond the Spider-Verse won't release until 2028, dude.
And it says that it's because they still don't have a good script. And that makes me really worried because this is a trilogy. We've already gotten the first two movies. I would think that this story was all set. Like that they knew what was going to happen in the third one, but the fact that they can't get a script this late in the game and now they're talking like three more years, I'm worried.
Yeah, that's not cool. Like 3 years is a long time, quite frankly. It's too long for me.
Well, when was the last movie out? You know, and now we're up to now.
Yeah.
I think the last movie was 2022, maybe?
2023 was Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay, so 23. So if we're, I mean, that's 5 years in between for an animated movie. Like, that's too long.
Let's see here. Spider-Man. Oh, geez. Dude, Into the Spider-Verse came out in 2018.
Okay, so they're averaging about 5 years between.
But we also had the pandemic in between there.
Right.
And then, yeah, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse 2023, and then now Beyond the Spider-Verse 2028. That's 10 years from the first to the third. But you're right. The whole we don't have a script is bothersome.
Mm. Very bothersome.
I sent you the trailer. I think, yeah, I sent it to you, I guess. Drop?
Yeah. Seems like basically a generic horror movie. You know, they've got all the lines right in the beginning that you expect.
Yeah.
You know, your kids are going to die if you tell your date, do what I say, or I control everything. I can see you through every camera. They give people way too much credit these days for being able to hack every camera everywhere all the time.
Well, it's not hacking, it's dropping. Like if your phone is like, people can like airdrop pictures or airdrop messages or whatever.
Yes. I'm talking about the fact that he says, I can see you. I know what you're doing. Like,
well, that's to me, he's in the restaurant with them.
Mm, maybe. But yeah. But then he says, check your home video camera.
And she sees the guy. Oh, that's true. Yes. He's hacked into the home video camera. That's right.
Unless it's a partner type thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she's instructed to tell nobody or follow instructions, or the hooded figure she sees on her home security camera will kill her young son and babysitting sister. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, suspense movies, you know?
Yeah. It's new tech, so, you know, it's dropping stuff. Dropping the videos, like you said. Okay.
Just going to airdrop this right here, you know. Yep. So we got the voice cast for Invincible Season 3 announced. What do you think of that?
I love it, and I love the fact that we got a couple of redacteds.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a couple of, hey, we're going to keep this one to ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm excited for it. I enjoyed the first two seasons. I don't even know what the season's going to be about. I don't really care. I'm just excited to watch it.
I love that we have duplicate, and now we're going to have multiple.
Yes, yes. That was funny. I sent you the trailer for Hell of a Summer, which is a Finn Wolfhard flick written and directed by him and like, Billy Brick.
Like, why is this kid already being given movies to write and direct?
Well, he wrote it himself, so I mean, he can write whatever he wants, sir.
Yeah, but some company was like, yep, yeah, absolutely. We will pay to have this movie made by you.
Well, you want to know what's funny? The movie was done in 2023. It actually got released in 2023 at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's just not getting released here in the States until April 18th, 2025. So it's been out there. Like, they finished filming it in 2022, for crying out loud. as the counselors are getting Camp Pineway ready the night before the campers arrive, a mass killer begins killing the staff. I'm going to watch the hell out of this when it comes out. I'm excited about it. I know Rotten Tomatoes has it at 50%. I don't really give a shit.
I'm going to wait for your take on it before I commit to it.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I like a good summer camp killer movie. Hence why I liked 1974 Fear Street from that trilogy they did so much. I sent you the trailer for Ephus.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
What? What's wrong with it? To be fair, I actually like the way it looks. Ephus is a pitch. It's a type of pitch in baseball. It's like this men's league baseball field, and they're gathering to play ball for the last time because someone's taking the field and making it into something else. And it's like, if this was teenagers, it'd be a coming of age story, but it's old farts. So it's a coming of midlife crisis story.
Mm.
I'll watch it. Like, I'm not going to say this is going to be, I didn't watch and go, man, this is amazing. It was just more along the lines of like, I'll watch this. I don't think it has anyone in it that I recognize, which is, it should be a red flag, quite frankly.
Yeah. And for me, of course, you know, I'm not a sports movie kind of guy. Yeah. So,
in a small Massachusetts town in the 1990s, the Alders Paint baseball team, led by Ed Mortonen, faces River Dogs, led by Graham Morris, in one last game before their stadium is demolished to make room for a new school. The only person I recognized was Bill Spaceman Lee, who's a pitcher for the Red Sox in the 60s to 82, basically. He pitched from the major leagues from 1969 to 1982. Very infamously, I believe he pitched a game while he was high on shrooms. And oh. when he wasn't supposed to pitch that day. That's why they call him Spaceman.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really recognize much of the other the rest of the cast, but it looks like an interesting flick. All right, see here. I sent you the trailer for, what is that? Oh, no, that's the duplicate. Oh, Opus. What'd you think of this?
I had seen a couple of things talking about it before you sent me the trailer. Looks interesting. It's an A24 film, so naturally, like, that's already a point in the right column for me, basically.
Yeah. A young writer is invited to the remote compound of a legendary pop star who mysteriously disappeared 30 years ago. Surrounded by the star's cult of sycophants and intoxicated journalists, she finds herself in the middle of his twisted plan. It's got John Malkovich, Juliette Lewis. John Malkovich is playing the pop star. I think it looks pretty good.
You can't always count on the cast, though, as we just saw with The Dead Don't Die.
That is true. It's got Ayo Itabiri. I don't know how to pronounce her name. She plays the sous chef on The Bear.
Uh-huh. She also took over as the voice of Missy in Big Mouth.
Big Mouth, yeah, because she's black and the other voice actress was not black and the character's black.
It was Jenny Slate.
But who's not black, right?
Correct.
I sent you the trailer for A Knight's War. Them's the rules. Moving on.
Yeah.
I sent you a trailer for the Tom Green documentary, which is already on Prime. I didn't realize that was a thing, and I sent it to you the day before it came out. I have not watched it.
Okay.
I might watch it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to let me know what you think of it.
Are you not going to watch it?
Probably not. I was never a big Tom Green fan.
Either was I, quite frankly.
That's all I'll say about that.
I sent you the trailer to a movie called Bloat.
Bloat.
It's got Ben McKenzie in it. Better known from Gotham, as Commissioner Gordon. Says here, it follows a mother and two sons vacationing in Japan. The younger son almost drowns in a lake, and soon after the accident, the parents realize that something is wrong with their boy. I don't really know what to make of the trailer after watching it.
Nope.
And I don't even know if I'm going to watch it or not. But it wasn't like, well, I watched this garbage, you need to watch it. It was more along the lines of like, I don't know what this is.
I don't know if it's good. Can you assist? Yeah. No, I felt the same way. Like, I watched it and I'm like, huh. I probably will not watch it, but again, I'll wait for you. Let me know if it's one of those that surprises and goes, oh, that was actually really good. Or you go, nope. Nope, we were right.
Yeah, we were. And I sent you the trailer to Everyone is Going to Die.
Everyone is going to die.
Yeah. It says here, as an entrepreneur is attempting to reconnect with his daughter on her birthday, the party is interrupted and they are taken hostage by two masked female robbers who appear to have real problems with the dad.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, the trailer looks good. I don't really recognize anyone that's in the flick, but I thought the trailer looked pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. Yeah, so I sent you like a YouTube short.
Well, don't forget, I sent you the news article.
Go right ahead with that.
DC Studios has cast Ulrich Thompson as Sinestro in the upcoming Lanterns series. So they've got their bad guy, or at least one of the bad guys. I assume that Sinestro will be the bad guy in the beginning. I've tried to see, tried to read up as little as possible on this. I'm assuming, though, that Sinestro will be the season one villain, or at least one of the season one major villains, because it's friggin' Sinestro, you know?
Well, yeah, you would think, but look what Iron Man did with the Mandarin.
I think that everybody learned from that, though. Like, that was terrible.
Yeah, that was really bad. It really was really bad. I say that Facebook short on going to the movies. It says going to the movies with a deaf person, whatever. But it showed us the caption device. That was interesting.
That was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a little black box on a thing and you hook it to your table, your chair, whatever it is. Looks like it might even go in the cup holder. And then you just kind of put the box at eye level and it's got the words.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I mean, I've seen like that at movie theaters, like, you know, like we have hearing devices or captioning or whatever mm-hmm. it is. But I've never seen what it looks like. So.
Right. I actually went to the movies once with somebody who was deaf and she did not get one of those. And I was like, how is she going to enjoy this? And her husband's like, oh, she'll enjoy it. She likes seeing the pictures. I'm like, why wouldn't you want her to at least have the captioning? But
yeah, you would think, right? You sent the trailer for Happy Face, and it's like, holy shit, Dennis Quaid is finally going to not play Dennis Quaid in a movie.
Right?
Because if you think about it, he just plays himself. Like, he's just like, oh, I'm Dennis Quaid. I'm just going to act, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Based on a true story of a serial killer.
Uh-huh.
Looks pretty soft. It's going to be a TV series on Paramount, not a movie.
Right. Basically, we follow his daughter as well.
Yeah. Apparently, it's based on the podcast.
Who is not a fan of serial killing, from the looks of it. But who knows? There could be.
Yes. No. She seems to not be happy with being a serial killer. Yeah, and he was called the Happy Face Killer because he drew smiley faces on letters he mailed to the media and authorities.
I remember this guy.
He killed sex workers and transients.
Quote unquote, people nobody would miss.
Yeah, pretty much. And he is a Canadian serial killer, it seems like. Or he was born in Canada. Sorry, he was born in Canada. But he killed people in a bunch of states over in the West, like California, and Oregon, Nebraska, Washington, shit like that. It's one of those things where he got convicted and charged for, like, you know, a few, but he alleged killing of over 100.
Good luck proving it.
Basically, yeah. That's it for me. You got anything else on trailers or news?
Negatory, sir.
Well, then I guess we should talk about Area 31. Jeez, I'm crow.
Section
31. So if you don't want to get spoiled, go away, but come back next week. Star Trek, Section 31, high-level thought, one or two words.
Generic, boring, dumb.
Pretty much sums up my statement of generic sci-fi flick, maybe a moment or two of Star Trek-ness, but really just
barely.
Barely, but could really just be anything. And, you know, this was set up to be a TV series, and then they said, nope, it's just going to be a movie, not a series. And then I watch it, and I'm like, man, it's a good thing this is just a movie and not a TV series. It's not Star Trek to me.
No.
Again, a moment of two where it seemed like it was Star Trek, but for the most part, not Star Trek at all.
And it doubles down by it's not Star Trek and it's not good.
No, it's not. It's like they tried to make it the least amount of Star Trek as they could.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of shocking because you would think like, you know, so Discovery, a lot of people like it. To me, I think it's just kind of okay. Not my favorite. Downright didn't like the third season, so I didn't even finish it. Love Strange New Worlds. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
The Adventures of Captain Pike with Anson Mount. I cannot wait for more of those. Lower Decks is fantastic even in its own way. It's really well done. I was excited for this. I love me some Michelle Yeoh, but man, it was just, it left you, left a bad taste.
So for me, every story beat was not just predictable, but it was like textbook generic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Right from the jump, we get a flashback of watching her ascend to be the emperor. And, you know, she's in a competition with one other kid who doesn't have the ability to do the final test, which is to murder your family because you can't have any ties to the past.
Right. Yeah.
So she ascends to the emperorhood and you're like, oh, if they're showing me this flashback, then he's the main villain.
Yep.
Surprise, he's the main villain.
Well, no, surprise, we think he's dead.
Mm.
Surprise, he's really not dead.
Ha, yep.
Ha, 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 ha.
And then we've got, you know, she walks into her own bar and quote unquote clocks every one of the team because, you know, she has to give us a rundown of what their species is, what they're doing. You know, I noticed the shapeshifter over there, and then I noticed the honeypot that's a distraction, but the shapeshifter is the only one who's immune to her charm. And then you've got this guy and this girl and this guy. And it, like, why does she get to be that omnipotent? Like, that's not even observant. That's omnipotent. You know, that is the writers inserting themselves to make it seem like she's that cool.
Yeah, because she's Georgia Filippo, $12 name.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to establish that she is the smartest in every room. She is the best. She is the most capable, you know, yada-da-yada-da-yada.
Yeah.
And it just came across as, again, boring and generic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that a character can't be really good at what they do. You know, I love the Ocean's movies. But there reaches a point where they're just like, I know everything. I know this and I know this and I observe this. It's like how I used to get frustrated with Sherlock Holmes. And I'd be like, here's the thing. Sherlock Holmes is not that smart. The writers know what's going on and they write him that way. Most people would not have that ability. Mm-hmm. So it frustrates me when you find some characters written like that. You know, just once I would like to see somebody come on screen and be like, I observed this and this and this and this and this, and have them be like, nice try, but you're wrong on all counts. You know, just knock them down.
It's interesting. Because they also try to give us that trope of like the murderers is one, the murderer is one of us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. One of you is a mole.
Yeah, exactly. Dun, dun, dun. The mole is one of us. So we got to watch each other and not trust each other.
And one of your teammates is going to be killed early on to kind of motivate you all.
Yeah. Right at the very beginning. And then another teammate's going to be killed, except we're going to find out he really didn't get killed. He kind of killed himself. But how did he kill himself? That doesn't make sense. Wait a second. Does your suit have autopilot? Dude, that's why you acted so strange.
It was so painful to watch that playback of the guy punching himself in the face from the first person and saying, they were your friends. And them going, why would he kill himself? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
It was painful to watch that. Not because of the punching in the face, but because of the acting.
Yes. Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was the more I talk about it, the lesser of a positive I have about it.
Yeah.
It was disappointing.
Yeah. It should have been good.
It should have been good. They had plenty of time to work on it. They had plenty of time to hype it. They really established her character already. So it's not like they had to reestablish her character as this, like you said, omnipotent one, but they really did. And then they introduced a ton of other characters that we don't know. It just, Yeah. Weak sauce.
The big thing is, in the Star Trek universe, it's mostly supposed to be about exploration, understanding, yes. knowledge.
Space, final frontier.
Yeah. Yes, there's combat. There's times that they have to fight, but for the most part, they try to think their way out of things. They try to come up with clever solutions because it is supposed to be a utopian society outside of, you know, Klingons, Romulans. Right. But it's supposed to be that. Section 31 treads a very fine line in the lore because Section 31 is basically like a black ops team that's meant yes. to go do the bad stuff behind enemy lines.
But they're almost like a Suicide Squad black ops team. They're yeah. not the best trained people. They're just ragtag people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing, too, except for the one Starfleet person. They're not like they're not the elite best of the best. They're just like the riffraff who's and really good. But at the same time, they're you know, they got issues.
The Starfleet girl frustrated me, too, because this was another example of Georgia being omnipotent because she's like, you were sent here because I bet you like chaos. You weren't happy being on the normal Federation stuff, and so they decided to put you where chaos is thriving. And then later on in the movie, she's like, I love chaos. And I'm like, yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah, I was disappointed with it as a whole. Like, I really wanted it to be good. You know, like you said, Star Trek is about exploration. You know, again, space, the final frontier, these are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, to boldly go where no one has gone before, right? And when they did Star Trek Deep Space Nine, it was almost like, whoa, this is stationary Star Trek because they're on a space station, right? Mm-hmm. How's this going to work? And Deep Space Nine is so good. They still mm-hmm. did a great job with that. So it's not like they haven't gotten out of their pattern of exploration before.
Right.
They've done it successfully in that film. I mean, that TV series. Man, they did not successfully pull it off here. This was a generic sci-fi space movie that literally could have been anything and did not have to be in the Star Trek universe.
Oh, and we haven't even talked about the MacGuffin, the thing that they're all trying to get their hands on, which is something from the alternate universe that has found its way here, which is a bomb that can blow up everything.
Yeah.
A bomb that has no fail-safe because she said that the only person that she couldn't beat was herself. So she designed it with no failsafe, and once it goes off, it will destroy everything in a quadrant.
But yet she ordered it to be destroyed.
Yeah, because she grew a conscience. Yeah, quadrant. They always talk about quadrants in Star Trek. Quadrant is four. You know, there's four quadrants yeah. in their known space. So to say that this bomb could blow up everything in a quadrant, that means a quarter of the whatever it is, galaxy, yeah. universe, et cetera, is gone.
Yeah. It'd be like blowing up a quarter of the Earth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Think about it in that respect. Blow up a quarter of the Earth with a single
then,
bomb.
And then expand that out because the quadrant has all these planets with all these alien species.
Well, exactly. But I mean, like, but just think about just the level of, oh, let's blow up a quarter of the Earth with a mm-hmm. single explosion. Now let's magnify that by infinitum, essentially. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. I was disappointed.
Yeah. Hugely. And the thing is, I sent you that thing that said that it was the lowest rated on Rotten Tomatoes, and I had seen multiple things that said that it sucked, and I was like, well, maybe this will be one of those times when I disagree with the... Not one of those times where I disagreed.
No, this is 23% on the Rotten Tomatoes right now.
That's giving it too much.
Yeah. And they still, it feels like they set it up at the end that this still potentially could have been a spinoff or a TV series.
I hope they don't.
This movie. And I really hope they don't. The only other thing I want to talk about real quick is Letterboxd.
Yeah, you had mentioned that before.
I've got me a Letterboxd. You can find me on Letterboxd at SuperstarML. So I decided to go ahead and just and create one. I had created one a while ago. And I started adding movies to my profile. Like, I would click watched. I didn't rate everything. I've only rated I don't know. I've liked 55 and I've rated quite a few movies, but I haven't rated everything I clicked on as watching because I haven't watched it in forever. So I just started, like, you can do it on the web page much easier than you can on your phone.
Oh, that's
awesome. On your web page, you don't have to do a date, whereas the phone automatically puts in, you watch this today, as opposed to you can just say that you watched it and it's much faster. But like, I did things like I searched like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then every movie of his that I'd watch, I clicked that I watched.
Okay.
And I did like Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme and directors. I did actors and directors and movie series. And I just here and there over the weekend, I would click movies. Dude, I have clicked that I've watched 2,629 movies.
Seems low.
I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface. Which is almost scary to think about. But I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface. Like, there's no way I could actually click that I've watched every movie that I've watched. You know what I mean?
I believe it. We've been at this for a while.
Yeah. So what I am going to do is I'm going to go back and continue clicking watched on movies I've watched and whatnot. But when I do watch a new movie, I am going to go in and do a proper, like, I watched it this date and my quick thoughts on it.
Hmm.
What inspired you to download the app?
I've been seeing it pop up on a few different social media parts, and it's just another way to keep track of this kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah, that's it right there.
Yep.
So. Cool. All right. Well, like I said, I'm on socials. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show this week.
We'll talk to you next week.